Before we start the show, let's hear from one of our sponsors. Their support keeps this show free for you. Hey there, Peace and Parenting family. If you love the podcast but wish to enjoy it without interruptions, your wish has come true. Introducing the ad-free version of the Peace and Parenting podcast available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. As a subscriber, you'll get all the heartfelt advice, parenting stories, and actionable tips you love without any ads. For less than the cost of a coffee each month, you will enjoy uninterrupted listening while also supporting our work to help you build stronger connections with your kids. Try it out for free. Simply find Peace and Parenting on Apple Podcasts, click try free, and you'll gain immediate access to our ad-free episodes. There's no commitment and you can cancel anytime. So if you're ready for a more peaceful, uninterrupted listening experience, subscribe now. Let's keep focusing on connection without the distractions. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm Michelle. I'm so glad you're here. We are going to talk about how can you stay calm when parenting feels impossible. Let's start with the idea that parenting is impossible. It's really, really hard. It's unearthing. It is super challenging, especially if we have so many other things on our plate, like multiple kids, work. We have maybe partners who aren't on board with this parenting, or we don't have a partner. There's a myriad of things that make parenting hard. And parenting this way is really hard because society tells us we're doing it wrong, but we're not. So all of those things combined with so many others can make parenting so challenging. I get that. I'm a single mom. It's challenging for me. Every turn, every step and every turn is some new challenge, and I'm always shocked at how hard it is. However, there are some things that I think can help us stay calm when things feel unmanageable. And one of the first things is to really think about, is this situation an actual emergency? Is it an actual moment where I need to be heightened? I need to be on high alert. And I need to be vigilant to get to keep myself protected, to keep my children protected. And often we go to that place, this emergency place, this high alert place, when things aren't necessarily an emergency, but it feels like an emergency. So really getting into your body and saying, why does this feel like an emergency? Is it because the feelings feel so big because feelings were never allowed in my home? And so I'm shocked when feelings start to happen. Is it I am sensitive to noise? Is it that sibling rivalry pushes me through the roof because I had such a challenging sibling relationship with my own siblings? What is it that's pushing you to believe this actual experience with your child right now is something that is an emergency? And once you can identify that, can you journal about why that is? And can you find ways to tell yourself how much it isn't an emergency and how normal it is to have feelings? And it's normal for kids to fight and siblings to fight, and that this is part of being a parent and this is part of childhood. So one, trying to tell yourself this is not an emergency. Number two, usually the thing that pushes us over that is feelings, our feelings. Feelings can seem overwhelming. Either our child's feelings of anger and upset or defiance or whining or whatever it is pushes us to a place that's unmanageable for us. But if we can reframe it and just say, this is just feelings. Feelings don't kill people. Feelings don't hurt anyone. All feelings are feelings, and they are totally acceptable. And we can hold space for those feelings if we can just put them into perspective. Now, number three, and I like to use this one, when I feel like I'm going to say or do the wrong thing, I feel like any input from me is going to be detrimental. And I feel like I am so overwhelmed, I can't get to any sort of rationalization. So I walk away. But the caveat is I don't walk away in anger. I don't walk away with shame and blame. I just walk away with an excuse that I need to go to the bathroom, or I need to write an email, or I need to do something really quick. I need to put dinner on. whatever it is, that I need to walk away for a moment. And I always come back and I don't stay too long. But when I do walk away, I try to regroup and ground myself and tell myself I can do this and that. Usually it's only feelings and usually it's not an emergency. The fourth thing that I think is important is something called the pause. And lots of people talk about it in parenting, but it's that pause before we respond. And if you get in the habit of using the pause all the time, then it will become supernatural to you. And in that pause, you give yourself a moment to think and you give yourself a moment to choose a reaction as opposed to just going on your automatic pilot. Now, of course, we're all going to make mistakes and we're all going to go automatic pilot sometimes, and that's going to happen. And then we apologize and we repair. But if you can, in some of the moments, not all of them, in some of the moments, you might be able to use the pause and it could be super helpful. And let's say there's 500 moments and you use the pause 10 times. That's pretty good. So use that pause to give yourself a moment to respond.
We are going to take a short break from our show to hear from our sponsors. Without their sponsorship, I wouldn't be able to bring you the Peace and Parenting podcast free of charge. So I'll see you back in just a few minutes.
What if you spent the next 30 days really focusing on connection with your kids? What do you think sibling rivalry would look like? How would cooperation go? And what would the feeling be in your home? Join my 30-day challenge. For 30 days, you join me and my coach, Martha, and really explore the ideas of connection. We do group coaching for the entire month, and you have access to all of the Peace and Parenting materials. Please join us for a 30-day challenge. Find the link in the show notes.
My book, Unpunished, is finally here. It is my journey into connected parenting, the idea of perfection, and how it nearly took me down as a mom. I give you my best thinking around how to be a connected parent, and the insights that I've discovered over the last 12 years of this incredible journey. I'm giving my book away for free, plus shipping and handling. So go to unpunished.com and get yours today. We're shipping domestically and we're also shipping internationally.
Okay, back to the show.
Okay, number five. This idea might help. Getting upset only makes the upset worse. Meaning, if our child is already upset and we join in the chaos, it will only make things worse, not better. It's our calm that our children need in the moments of upset in order to help them calm. But that's hard to get to. But if you can get to the pause, then maybe you can also get to this idea that getting upset is only going to make things worse. And staying calm is where you can be grounded. Number six, apologies are everything. They are beautiful, incredible places where children and parents learn so much about one another and themselves. We learn humility and we learn how to take responsibility and we learn how to ask for forgiveness and we learn how to admit our mistakes out loud. And what a beautiful thing to model for our children, that they don't think that we think we're perfect. Because I always thought my parents were perfect because they never apologized for anything. So I thought that they thought that whatever they were doing was the right thing to do and that they never regretted anything that they did because they never told me. And so I always thought I was wrong because I always thought they were right. Because nobody apologized. And I think that's the biggest thing, is we're admitting we're wrong and the thing that we did wasn't right. And what a gorgeous thing to give our children. What a gorgeous thing to give anyone when we can admit that we made a mistake and apologize to our friends, to our partners, to our siblings, to our own parents, like where we can really say, I'm sorry, I really screwed up. I take full responsibility. It takes a big person to do that. And if you can do that for your kids, You're parenting at 30,000 feet. You're up there. You are mature. And it takes a lot of maturity to apologize. And please don't, diminish the apology. Like, people will say, well, yeah, you mess up and you can apologize. But That is humongous. It really is in my book. Apologies are worth so much in parenting. And so I just can't say enough about those. Also, messing up is part of it. You might not be able to stay calm every single time. In fact, you probably won't. I mean, I don't. You're not going to be able to stay calm. You're going to lose it. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to apologize, like we talked about. But don't beat yourself up. Like, messing up is part of it, and it's a place where we can learn and grow and do better next time. And without those mess ups, we don't learn and grow. And without those mess ups and the apologies, we don't really get to the bottom and the root of what's going on for us. When we gloss over them, or when we beat ourselves up around it a lot and say how bad we are and what we've ruined our kids' lives and we're such terrible parents, we never then spend the time to say, like, why did I mess up? What was going on here? We just beat ourselves up, but with no sort of thought process around what was the mess up here? What happened? Because we're so busy punishing ourselves. So just know messing up is part of it, and that's okay. It's also a beautiful place to learn. But let's do it without beating ourselves up, without punishing ourselves like our parents did. Co-regulation. Co-regulation's the name of the game, right? All we're trying to do is model regulation for our kids. Now, is it perfect? No. Do we try to do it most of the time? Yes. Are we going to fail? Absolutely. Are you going to mess up and not co-regulate? 100%. And so do I. Because we came from dysregulation usually. And there's no way to be a fully regulated human being from dysregulation and years of it and an upbringing with it. So we do our best. We regulate the best we can. I'll tell you what, I've been doing this work for now nearly 14 years. And I can self-regulate better than I did 14 years ago, way better than I did 14 years ago. I can self-regulate better than I did 2 years ago. And so my growth is continuing, and my tolerance to upset and my tolerance to big feelings and my tolerance to off-track behavior has increased incredibly. So yours will too. So just keep at it and co-regulate when you can, all the times that you possibly can, and count those times when you can. Don't count those times when you don't. So many sweet parents beat themselves up. So many parents say to me, I'm ruining my kids. I hate hearing that. It breaks my heart when people say they're ruining their kids. They're not. They're being human. We're all being human. That's not ruining children. There will be lots of places where you mess up, and you may not even apologize and mess up, and it's still going to be okay. I promise you it will be okay. But you regulate so that they can regulate. So the more we model regulation, the more regulated our kids will be, because they glean their regulation from us. That's how we teach kids to regulate their feelings, not by instructing, not by giving them a book, not by giving them cards with the emotional words on them, and, you know, not by explaining what emotionality is, not by having them explain their feelings. None of that will help a child regulate. Our regulation will. Modeling it will. We want to co-regulate. We want to be regulated enough that our kids end up regulating. And it will happen. I promise you, over time, it happens. My sweet Esme was not regulated as a little girl. She's way more regulated now. She still has 10 years to get until her brain is fully developed and her regulation fully comes into play. So I still give her lots of leeway at 18. She's got 10 more years of learning to regulate. And the more regulated I am, the more regulated she is, even from far away. Number 9, a response with connection is easier long-term, because when you respond with connection, you're building relationship, you're tempering your own, you know, upset, your own, you're fueling your regulation. You're becoming connected to your child, which makes your limbic system hum and your prefrontal cortex go online. So when you respond with connection, you're doing a myriad of things and you're building relationships. So every time you respond with connection, you're building relationship. And so if you're doing that several times a day, you're constantly building relationship with your child. It's impossible not to. But if you respond with correction or conventional parenting or punishments or reprimands or threats or bribes or shame or any of those things, now you are not building the relationship, but you're eating away at the relationship. So connection overall and the response and responding to your children with connection will make things easier long term because the relationship will be better. You'll have more influence and your kids will trust you more. It's really that simple. Number 10, doing nothing is okay. Not everything your child does deserves a response. I promise you it doesn't. And there are days when you don't want to respond to something because you're scared of the way you respond. Don't respond to it. You can stay present still. You can still witness it, but you don't have to respond. And you especially don't have to respond in the moment because that moment probably isn't the best moment to respond. It can be revisited later if it needs to be. But I'd say it doesn't always need to be either. Some behaviors, some things, some experiences, some interactions just need to be gone. They need to flow through. And that is all right. We do not have to be the teacher, the corrector, the holder of all meaning in every situation. Sometimes it's okay to let things go. So don't feel like you have to respond to everything. All right. This was my little list on how to stay calm when parenting feels impossible. I know it feels impossible sometimes. I see you, you sweet parents out there. I see all the lovely people in my community. I see all my private clients, and everyone is struggling, and you're not alone. And parenting isn't something that's easy. So please know that this work is hard work. And if you're not struggling, I would be scared that maybe something's wrong. So I hope this was helpful. Thank you for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'll see you next time.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.